Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it!
He's locked in on the Bucks. He brings the insight and the opinions. He's Eric Name of The Athletic on Rutledge and Hamilton.
Before we get to Eric, let me tell you about Canopy Wealth Management. They take their clients' financial goals as something that is important to them and unique to them, and they want to help strive to reach that maximum potential. So go to canopy-wealth.com to get started with them today. That's canopy-wealth.com. I have a question for everyone on the show here. Do you believe that, actually, I didn't even say this. Are you confident that you could safely land a passenger airplane in an emergency situation? Matt?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Not a chance.
Eric?
No, never in a million years.
No, I've seen enough movies. The tower talks through it. Like, I imagine if you can just listen to instructions.
I wish I could walk around with the false confidence that man does.
Yeah.
YouGov America had this poll out there. Roughly 1 in 3 Americans, 32% of them, including nearly half of all men polled, are confident they could safely land a passenger airplane in an emergency situation, relying only on the assistance of air traffic control. Just 1 in 5 women said the same.
Yeah,
this is why women live longer than men.
I'm pretty confident I can do it.
Goodness.
Yeah, I helped land a Cessna once.
Helped?
I mean, I sat co-pilot.
It's like you saying you helped Giannis score 55 points last night because you were at the game.
I did.
Yeah, he did sit there. He did sit there.
See, that's even true. Name can give me some credit for that.
Oh, man. Matt, first tell your story of your fan nearby.
Eric. So,
talking with Eric Name from The Athletic.
Best game experience of all time, right? So we got good seats. We're sitting down 12th row, and there's this little girl behind me. Couldn't be more than 10. Tiny. Every time the Wizards were at the line, we would hear,
"You suck!" every single time,
to the point where it was like, this is so good, I can use this a million different ways for our show. I recorded it.
"You suck!"
And I'm going to be honest with you, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't contagious and I didn't yell, "You suck," during free throws a couple times.
I mean,
like, that's just the electricity of the stadium.
Honestly, there's also intimidation, right? if she's willing to do that for every free throw, that means everyone in the section is put on notice.
Yeah,
this is what we do in our section.
Yeah.
So you better be on board, and if you're not, you're going to have problems. You're going to have to deal with me.
Yeah, she set the tone, and I liked it. It was the tone I wanted to be at, so we're there. So, Eric, you know, there's a lot of things we could talk about with Giannis in the game yesterday. I more want you to recap the charging foul that got overturned and our back and forth there.
Wow. I mean, honestly.
Universal question.
It was good.
I don't know if you can apply for this job, but if you can get a job out in Secaucus, you might be the new go-to for replay situations, because as the replay is going down, Matt Hamilton tells me that it looks like he slid in late, and I'm an expert on sliding. And it was tough for me to disagree with, right? I do hate charge calls. I do think the NBA would be better if we could figure out a different way to legislate it. But with all that being said, Matt Hamilton nailed it, 100%. Yeah. Well, it got overturned. The challenge was successful. He did slide in a little bit late, and they called it a block instead, and Giannis goes to the line and keeps adding to what ended up being a historic night.
Yeah, so I'm a little curious on Giannis's historic night. Obviously, I was driving. I didn't catch the post-game presser. What was his energy and vibe like after that?
You didn't see this? Sorry, go ahead. It's like very viral. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was doing things, coming home.
Which part went viral? I don't even know. Like, I was just there. So, Jim, you fill me in.
Well, it's the Milwaukee.
I also don't know.
So. It's the Milwaukee quote. It's talking about how he loves to see plays for the jersey, or the name on the front, and, was just giving a lot of love to the city of Milwaukee.
Well, I mean, he held the Milwaukee on his jersey a lot.
I think it was a TV broadcast, but he pointed out, and, that's all I see is Milwaukee fans falling head over heels, trying to throw their love back at Giannis for that. A lot of love towards Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so I was curious which part, because I thought a lot of his post game was fascinating. He's been on a just historic run as of late. This is 40 points in 5 of the last 7 games, 40 plus, 10 plus rebounds in his last 3 games. The 3 game stretch that he's had in the last 3 is the most any Buck has ever scored in 3 consecutive games. Obviously, 55 ends up being too short of the single game record. He's just in this really ridiculous place, and it's at least partially because the Bucks are struggling and because Chris Middleton is not healthy and because Drew Holiday has missed some games, and we've seen his usage climb to a rate that we haven't seen from him during his time here with the Bucks, even with Mike Boonholzer kind of pushing that up over the years. So he's really taking on a lot right now. And I do think, you know, there's like kind of like a sense of like a deep breath, like, okay, that was tiring. But you know, he's jersey popping Milwaukee the whole night. And, you know, I think there's 3 separate occasions where he, at the end of the first half, he hits Porzingis with a pump fake, step through lefty finger roll, and he's kind of skipping up the floor, having a good time after that. You know, there's the shimmy after the no look pass to Bobby Portis. He was full on feeling himself last night, and I think all of that kind of came through in the post game when obviously he's talking about, you know, what the city means to him and how much he's loved it here and how much that the city has meant to kind of his growth. And obviously this is the only place that he's ever played. But on top of it, you know, there's me asking him, like, hey, Donovan Mitchell had 71 last night. Since this was last night, this was 2 nights ago, that Donovan Mitchell had 71. It feels like every other night someone's going for 50 or 40, 20 in a triple-double or whatever it might be. And I'm curious, like, do you feel like since everyone moved their levels up a little bit, you also feel the pressure like, oh, I need to bring my level up as well? And he proceeded to go on a 4-minute just monologue by himself, just answering that question. And, you know, like at the core of it is, no, I don't compete with these other people. There's 8 billion people on this planet. We're all unique. There's only one Giannis. And even if I had a twin, I still won't be able to compete perfectly against that person because he was born 5 or 10 minutes earlier or later than me. So all I can do is compete with myself. So I only focus on myself and getting better. But in the same vein, he mentioned the fact that, yeah, he does notice the guys that are going off. And what he is after is not to be, you know, Donovan Mitchell, because he remembers earlier in his career when it was, you know, Isaiah Thomas when he was on the Celtics going for 50 points. He remembers when it was Kristaps Porzingis, when it was Paul George, it was John Wall, it was all these other people. What he's after is LeBron James. He's after LeBron James on his 38th birthday going for 47, and then a night later going for 43. And for him, he wants this to be commonplace. He wants this to be the standard. And to me, I thought that was the most interesting thing where, you know, he mentioned during the post game, in an ideal world, he gets to a spot where a 55 point night is boring, that everyone just expects it, that this is what he does and this is what he's trying to get after. You get to a point where it's kind of boring. And honestly, as the words came out of his mouth, I truly wondered if he thought this has already happened, because I do think there is. And I'm guilty of it covering the team. You know, the other night when Giannis has a 40-20 night, I wrote a quick news story about it for The Athletic. And, you know, we went into it for a little while, made sure we got the headline up and said, wow, this is ridiculous. First got to go 40-20 on back-to-back nights and however long. But my game story was about Joe Ingles looking good for the first time. My game story was about, like, hey, this is what matters to the Bucks going forward, because we know Giannis is great. But if the Bucks are going to make a deep run, if they're going to be great in the playoffs, then they also need Joe Ingles and they need these other things. And I do wonder if Giannis is really starting to feel like, oh, it truly doesn't matter what I do at this point. I'm not going to get the attention that other people do. Me getting taken for granted. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch the rest of the season.
We lost a little bit there at the end with Eric. One question before we let you go, Eric. And we were talking beforehand, and Matt obviously is a big fan of the Charge because his favorite basketball player is Brad Davison. Big fan of college basketball here. I have a... I have a theory that college basketball coaches seem to coach, I don't want to say the talent, but coach a lot of the talent and free will out of their players to run their system, as opposed to in the NBA where you're allowed more freedom to kind of run an offense there. So my question is more of like, how beneficial do you think college basketball is for most NBA players?
I think it's helpful in that you're playing the next level up. Like, that is always going to be helpful for a basketball player. Like, going from high school to college, playing more players that, you know, in high school, you play a couple guys that are the best player in their team, but the rest of their team is normal guys. And when you get to college, all of a sudden, it's the best player from every high school team. And when you get to the NBA, it's the best player from every college team. Like, those jump ups in level are always going to make an impact. And then I do think it's really about being with the right coaches and being in the right systems. Because I do think there's plenty of places in college that if you get a coach that kind of believes in many of the things that NBA coaches believe in, you can have a lot of freedom on offense. You can find ways to grow your game and do some of those things. There will be other places where you're not as free to do those things. And I think that is kind of where it gets difficult to figure out exactly how much it's helping and in what ways it's helping.
So I had one more question, and this is kind of weird. It's analytical, right?
Sure. Let's do
it. So I noticed this a lot. When Brook Lopez is trying to take a board, oftentimes he would just tip it to a guy, right? Yep. And then that guy would gather it and take it down the court. Who gets the rebound on that?
That's not analytical.
It's who gets the stat? How is that not analytical?
It's a statistical question. It's a statistical question. Brook Lopez gets, if you control tip it and the scorekeeper believes they can figure out your intent.
Right, because I saw him tip a lot to Giannis, and I was like, Giannis only has 7 boards or 10 boards. Right. And I was like, okay.
Those are all Brook Lopez rebounds.
Okay.
Where it gets a little bit more confusing is if a ball's in the middle of the air and multiple people tip it, then it's going to be who controls it after that.
Right, but okay.
In a Brook Lopez situation, typically what he does...
Yeah, it looked like it was totally controlled, like a pass, but he just like... volleyball spiked it to him.
It's an easy way to start the fast break, right?
Yeah.
Like if Giannis doesn't have to turn around and jump up and grab it and then turn around to go back, if he can just start sprinting down the court and Brook can tap it to him and let him go, they've probably taken 2 seconds off their fast break and they've gotten on top of the defense that much quicker.
Okay. Well, the more you know.
Eric, as always, we appreciate that great insight.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to do it, and I'm always happy to receive a text from Matt that he's at the game. And if I ever have any refereeing questions, I will make sure I text Matt.
Thank you. I'm sure you will, and my line's always open.
And Matt, if you have any statistical procedural questions, you can ask that.
I'll ask you. Well.
This is Rutledge and Hamilton presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Rutledge and Hamilton presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN. Want to see Matt's mustache up close? Follow the show on Twitter at Jim and Matt. Is this something people want? Do they like want a close-up of his stash?
You got some crumbs in there.